You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So learning a foreign language is one thing. How about learning American English? For example, John, tell me if you understand what I'm saying to you here. Don't try and honeyfuggle me, because anyone who thinks I would haul a calf rope in a game of duck on a rock doesn't know me from Adam's house cat.
Well, I don't know Adam's house cat. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the individual... I mean, I know duck on a rock is a medieval child's game.
Yeah, well, have you ever had guzlum on your flapjacks?
I've had guzlum.
Yeah.
You can have guzlum on flapjacks and chicken fried steak, too.
You can, absolutely.
You can, actually.
The fact is, America is a very large country. And the English spoken in one corner of it may not sound anything like what they're using in another part. Here's some more examples.
The hot dish is enjoying a renaissance.
When you put the rake in the sand, you feel a rock. As soon as you feel a quahog, you know the difference.
Euchre. Ties it up. Down. Tooting.
All right, so you have a copy of the Dictionary of American Regional English. Then you know that hot dish is a kind of casserole. A quahog
you,
is
you
a...
You say it this way. Hot dish. Hot dish.
Well, I'm from California, so yeah, I say hot dish. A quahog is a common word for clam in New England, and euchre is a card game beloved by Midwesterners of all stripes. Next month, after decades of work, the final volume of the Dictionary of American Regional English, commonly called the DARE, will be released by the Harvard University Press. It started in the 1950s. It was a project that was the singular passion of linguist Frederick Cassidy. Since then, the DARE's editors have compiled 60,000 regionalisms found all across the U.S., and we're joined now by one of those people. Joan Houston Hall is chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English. Hi, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
60,000 words later. But, you know, it's very interesting, the beginning of this project, how Frederick Cassidy went about collecting the words and phrases for the first volume. Can you tell me about his language vans?
Yes, we had what were called word wagons. These were early versions of campers in which field workers could actually sleep and eat in a rather minimal sort of way. And they went around to 1,002 communities across the country, communities that were selected to be representative of our population at that time. And what they did was to find people who had grown up in those communities and never lived anywhere else. And they asked them the questions in a huge questionnaire, close to 1,700 questions. And that way we had a database of comparable information from clear across the country.
Are many of these things, we were talking about an enormous volume of words and phrases, are most of them, are any of them still used?
Oh, yes, many of them are still used. People like to think of American English as being homogenized these days by the fact that we are very mobile and that we have all these media that we share. But the kinds of words that tend to stay as regionalisms are not the kinds of words we learn from our teachers or our books or read in the newspapers, but they're the words that we use in our families, with our friends, and very often we don't even know that not everybody uses them in the same way. So they're words that have to do with families and food and clothing and things around the house and very everyday kinds of words.
We're speaking with Joan Houston Hall. She's chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English. And I should say, congratulations, after a half a decade of work or so, the dictionary is finally complete.
Well, we have reached Z, but we're not complete.
You know, the last time I spoke with you, Joan, you told me a story about how the dictionary helped solve a kidnapping case, a crime. Can you tell me that story again?
Oh, yes, that's a very fun example of how this work can be useful. A linguist named Roger Shai told us of a case in which a child was abducted, and the person who took the child left a note saying, "Leave $10,000 in a diaper bag on the Devil Strip at the corner of 18th and Carlson." Well, the Devil Strip? What was that? It wasn't in any standard dictionary, but it was in DARE. And the Devil Strip is that strip of grass between the sidewalk and the street. But the interesting thing about it is that it's used in a very circumscribed part of the country, almost solely in the triangle outlined by Youngstown, Cleveland, and Akron, Ohio. And using that little bit of information helped to solve the crime.
they found the one person connected with this kid who lived in that area that would have used the word Devil's Strip.
Yeah, there were, of course, other bits of evidence as well, but this was a very important one.
What are some of the best regional insults, you think, that are included in the DARE, the Dictionary of American Regional English?
Well, people seem to love to think of ways to talk about how stupid other people are. So one of the questions we asked was, if you think somebody's really stupid, you might say, he doesn't have enough sense to blank. So you get things like, he doesn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain, to lead a goose to water. Those are pretty standard. But in the South Atlantic, people say, to bell a buzzard. Others say, to pound sand down a rat hole. And my favorite is a phrase that people really love to elaborate on. They say, he doesn't have enough sense to pour piss out of a boot. And then others, thinking that's not good enough, say, he doesn't have enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with a hole in the toe. And then, he doesn't have enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with a hole in the toe and directions on the heel.
Joan, do you think things like Twitter...
I've met people like that.
Do you think things like Twitter are homogenizing our language, as people often say? Do you think we're losing these colloquialisms?
No, I don't. In fact, we will probably be using studies made on tweets to show that, indeed, some of our very favorite regionalisms still exist. Now, an analysis of tweets won't do the same thing as the kind of survey that we've done, but it certainly can provide really good evidence of the existence of some of these wonderful words.
Although I imagine using that insult that you just described would use up your 140 characters right there.
That's true.
All you get to do is insult the person, and then you run out of space. Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English. Joan, what's your favorite word in the dictionary?
Well, I have to say that it's Baba Sheely. This is a really interesting word. It's both a noun and a verb. As a noun, it means a really good friend. And as a verb, it means to saunter along in a friendly fashion. And it's a word that we really had to work on to discover its origin.
What it meant. Yeah. Joan Houston Hall, Chief Editor of the DARE, the Dictionary of American Regional English. Thank you.